the first Sunday of the month. That means it's Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pleckner. And he is the author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic. We will be chatting with him again shortly and talking about the endocrine immune imbalance and that sort of thing. But from now on, the phone lines are open, and, of course, your phone calls take priority. So you, if you have an animal or human medical care question, and it doesn't have to relate to the endocrine immune imbalance with your animal friends, if you've got a medical care question and you would like Dr. Al's input, then you can pick up the phone and give us a call. And, of course, we are giving away copies of his book, Pets at Risk. Now, the local number, jot these down, so if you're inclined to call during the show, you'll have the number handy. Local number, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Long distance within Western Washington is 888-298-5569. That's 888-298-5569. You can send us an email while we're on the air. Our live email address is very simple, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Please use that email address only during the show, because there's nobody to check that mailbox during the week. So we look at that only while we're on the air. Now, if you want to be in touch with Animal World any other time, you can go through the website, marthanorwalk.com. The homepage always tells you what's going on in the show the next week, links to our advertisers and sponsors, current events. We'll get you all the current event stuff. Lots of great information for you there. And you can click on the Contact Martha link to send me an email to my home office. Now, or you can address your own email program to Martha Light, L-I-G-H-T, at AOL.com. And I'm delighted to hear from you always, but as an animal behavior therapist, I think many of you know that the majority of my time is spent working with people in their homes or over the phone, helping them understand their animals and solve problems. I don't work via email. You certainly can send me a history of behavior with your animal friend, but the best way to get a hold of me, and if you need help in resolving problems with your animals, is to give me a call, bug my voicemail. And if you have problems with your animal friends or know anybody else that has problems, it's always worth giving me a call, because I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation. So, and if I'm not the best one to help you, then heck, I usually know who is, and I'll send you on to the right person. So it's Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling, phone number 206-525-2016. That's 206-525-2016. Now, if you are submitting a current events item for Animal World, please do so online. Send it to me via email, because it's easier for me to get to the webmaster that way. But if by chance you need to post something to Animal World, you can mail it to the Animal World mailing address, 4012 41st Avenue Northeast, Seattle, Washington, 98105, and all of that contact information is on the homepage of my website. Now, if you're needing to get a hold of Sandy, Sandy's got all kinds of wonderful services to offer as well. I understand, Sandy, that your internet is down. You're having computer problems. So if you need to get a hold of Sandy this week, going through her website is probably not the best way to go. What you want to do is give her a call. And you can reach Sandy at 206-364-6778. 206-364-6778, extension 2. And if you are interested in Dr. Al's work, ordering the books or the human compendium or reading more about this or contacting him for consultation, you can do all of that through Dr. Al's website, which is www.drplechner.com. Phew. Think that covers all the bases. So let's see if Dr. Al is still with us. Dr. Al, are you there?
I'm still here.
Hey, all right. Well, I promised our listeners that phone calls would take priority, and we've got a caller online. So you ready to take a call?
You bet. How does this sound? I'm using a headphone.
It sounds good. Gary, sound okay to you? It sounds okay to me.
Okay. I think it's better than that handheld.
Oh, good. Good. That's great.
Good.
Let's see. Let's go to Linwood and welcome Sally. Sally, you're live on Animal World with Dr. Al Pleckner.
Hi.
Hi, Sally.
Hi.
Dr. Al, can you hear Sally?
Yes, I can hear really well now. Uh-huh.
Okay, Sally, can you hear Dr. Al?
It's really low, but I can hear a little bit.
Okay, well, what do you need to know?
I need to know, I'm taking my cat to Dr. Burlingame, and he's got his blood test, and he does test positive.
Okay, that would be what she's referring to, folks, if you don't know. I'm assuming, Sally, that you've had your kitty into Dr. Bill. He's up at Quilceta Veterinary Hospital, and he knows how to do the diagnosis and treatment for Dr. Al's, the endocrine immune imbalance. So your
right.
cat's been tested. That would be an EI1 blood test,
uh-huh.
and your cat is imbalanced.
Right.
Okay, so now what?
So he's had two shots now, 2 weeks apart.
Okay.
And I guess I have some questions, well, with diet especially, because...
Okay, well, let's tell us about your cat. What's your kitty's name?
His name is Faramir, and it's F-A-R-A-M-I-R. I know it's unusual, but it's a character from The Lord of the Rings.
Okay, so he's the Lord of the Rings kitty. Faramir, how
yes.
old is Faramir?
He's 5.
5 years old, a neutered male?
Yes.
Okay, and what kind of symptoms were going on with him that made you inclined to have him tested?
He has some sores on his chin and his neck, and they just got worse. They're like open scabs, and they start getting bigger and bigger.
Uh-huh.
He itches all the time.
Okay.
So.
And now, have you seen improvements since he's been started on the medication?
Yeah, I think so. They improve, and then he scratches, and they get open again. And so
you had questions about diet.
Yeah. Because.
What are you currently feeding your cat?
Well, the doctor, Burlingame, told me to limit it to 2 proteins and no grains. So he was already on natural pet pantry turkey, raw turkey, and that's 1 protein.
Uh-huh.
But he was on another dry food that had 5 proteins, so I tried to switch that one. And I went to a store, and I found, it was kind of hard, but I found a no grain, and the only source of protein was herring. So, and they're crunch, that's a dry food.
Okay.
So is that good enough to start with?
Well, now, Dr. Al, how important is diet related to this imbalance with cats?
I'll tell you what, it's interesting. The cats are not quite as food sensitive as dogs and people are.
Okay.
But it is a variable. So what Dr. Burlingame is suggesting is exactly what should be done. So you don't have a variable. So if you do use even fresh stuff, turkey, whatever you're going to use as a herring as a protein, sometimes even with the raw foods, you can add like zucchini and squash and things to it.
Now, I know, Sally, yeah, my cats love steamed asparagus and steamed broccoli.
Wow.
I call them vegicinians because,
yeah,
I mean, they
exactly.
absolutely go goofy over steamed asparagus.
But I think what you're going to find with Dr. Burlingame, what he's doing is he's begun a low-level replacement for the imbalance. So your cat basically has a cortisol that is not being produced correctly out of the middle layer adrenal gland, if you will, the cortex. And so what he's doing is basically beginning with these shots, and as the improvement occurs, and it's not perfect, you increase the shot a little bit, because each patient is different. Each patient takes a certain amount. Some of the medications that are being used now, the pharmaceutical companies have changed, and they are not quite as strong as they used to be. So you titrate each patient in giving enough of that injection until the level in the gut, called the IgA, the antibody, that when it's too low, you do get malabsorption of oral medication. So what Dr. Burlingame is doing is he's making bypassing the gut now with the injection, and once the levels have been corrected, then oral medication will be very simple to do. That's probably where he's going with this. So I would stick with the diet, and once you can talk to Dr. Burlingame, once the hormone antibody mechanism is corrected, at that time you may want to start doing an add back, like every 7 days. If he's tolerating the food he's on and scabs are fine, or no scabs, I mean, then you can add something to that. If you want to add turkey, do it for 7 days, unless you get a reaction. And in 7 days, if there's no skin problems, no itching, scratching, you can use turkey anytime you want. So you can literally build a homemade diet, of which, once you determine what the pet can tolerate, you then can go out and find a commercial diet, possibly, to add to this, so it makes it a little easier and you don't have to use as many fresh ingredients, if that makes sense.
That makes sense, Sally?
Yeah, I can hardly hear him. It's really hard for me to hear him, but yeah.
Okay. And Dr. Al, did you not tell us at one point that turkey is rarely an allergen?
Turkey used to be a big allergen.
Oh, okay.
It used to be, but then again, beef did too.
Right.
And since a lot of the foods haven't contained those, now there's turkey out, there's beef out, and the animals seem to tolerate them.
Right, because it's consistent exposure over long term that helps
right,
develop
those
allergies.
Right, and that's what I found when I did the lamb and rice.
Right.
And chicken and rice and rabbit and rice had to go to duck and potato, had to go to different things after about 10 years.
Yeah, because that's why a rotation diet is so important, because if animals have this imbalance, you feed the same thing long enough, they're going to become allergic to it.
Right. And
but dogs more than cats, right?
Dogs more than cats, people more than cats. And also the thing is, if Sally, if there is an allergen that you're aware of that your cat has reacted to, then you want to avoid that, because the lymphocytes, once they hone in on some kind of a food sensitivity, they remain there. And even if you don't feed it and you purge your system for a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, and you refeed it, you will get a bad reaction normally.
But so Sally,
can you hear
cat,
that? No.
Yeah, well, Sally's Ferrimer, her kitty, has been on the protocol now. It's had a couple of injections 2 weeks apart. But with the skin and, you know, the sores on the chin and the neck and is itching all the time, would you anticipate that taking a while to start here clearing up? Because the medication has to take effect and change some of the values.
And the like medication's got to be, it's got to be enough for that particular patient to do the job.
Okay.
And so from a financial standpoint and a health standpoint, once Dr. Burlingame kicks up the injections and gets the results that we're all after, at that point you can recheck a couple of the levels to make sure that internally we're normal also. And if ever you do the endocrine immune and you get the hormone levels all corrected and you still have a problem, you're fighting a food input right
now.
Then
you know it's a food input.
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay, so the diet of feeding this cat turkey and then the
herring. Yeah.
Dry food, that would be okay right at the moment?
I would think so.
Okay, and so then it's a matter of getting the medication dose correct and getting the numbers back in alignment, the estrogen, the cortisol, you know, the antibodies, and once that's stabilized, if the skin condition is not cleared up, then we know it's food, and we'd have to get more restrictive on that diet.
Right. You continue the hormones. You did have the imbalance. That's why this occurred. But then you would relate to the one variable, which would be the food. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense, Sally?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
All right. Any other questions?
Will he have to have injections, or can he take pills?
That was the question. Does he have to continue injections, or can he take pills?
Well, Sally, once the scabs are gone, what Dr. Burlingame will do is, if he measures the antibody in the gut called IgA, if that's up to a level that's high enough for absorption, then you can switch. Then he'll switch you over to an oral replacement hormone. And what happens is there's only been a few cats, a very small percentage, that need to continue getting injections. And if that's the case, it's usually a monthly shot, and what I used to do in my practice was I would buy the syringes and the medication and show the owners how to give the shot once a month, or if in fact it was something they did not want to do, they could bring in the actual vial and the injections, and a staff member would do it for them. Okay?
Right.
But that's unusual, Sally. Normally about 94 to 95% of these cats will go on. They seem to do best on prednisone or prednisolone, which is a little different than what is used in people and in dogs. They all use it, but I think it's you get less side effects.
Yeah, because what's basically going on, Sally, is that the IgA antibody that's measured in this EI1 test, if you have the imbalance, it's usually very low. And that's the antibody that, in simple terms, keeps the lining of the intestinal tract healthy.
Right.
And when it's too low, what Dr. Al is saying, the gut can't absorb the oral form of this medication well enough to regulate the imbalance. So that's why injections are given to start with. Once the cat responds and that IgA comes back up to, into the normal ranges so that his gut is operating normally, that's when you can make the switch to the oral medication, because then he can absorb it through his gut. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you only stay on the, in most cases, what did you say, 95% of the cases, Al, and cats are going to be able to switch to oral medication.
Or even what we were, what I was working on looking at was doing the transdermal. Which would be a cream you'd rub on their ear once a day, and they'd absorb it that way without even worrying about oral or injectable.
So that's not available yet,
but
it will be.
Yes, hopefully.
Sally?
How long will that be available?
Pardon me?
When will that be available?
Do we have any idea when that'll
Some of it's available now through some of your compounding pharmacies. I just have not had a whole bunch of experience with it at this point, but you could check with Dr. Burlingame, because there are compounding pharmacies that are doing that right now.
Oh.
And see if you get a transdermal pred or, you know, and I can talk to Dr. Burlingame about this.
Yeah, I think we ought to do that, Al, because we have a fabulous compounding pharmacist, our pharmacy up in Snohomish. It's Kusler's Pharmacy. Mm-hmm. And they actually have one pharmacist. Her name is Dawn, and she specializes in compounding for animals. And she's been doing this a long time. Like, for instance, I just used them when I took a little trip here recently, and my brother had to medicate my animals and had to give the thyroid medication, which is an oral pill. And I didn't want him to have to pill this animal, so Kusler's compounded it into a liquid that tasted good. It was shrimp-flavored. So it was real easy to do. So we've got a great animal compounding pharmacist. So I think if you talk to Dr. Bill about that, you know, Sally, maybe we can get something sooner rather than later.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be.
I do know they're making them. They're making them. There are some veterinary transdermals out there, and you might look online, too, to see what's available. And the interesting thing, you just brought up Martha with the thyroid. What it's really come down to for all your animals, people, et cetera, the best thing you can ever do is to break up your thyroid, or if you're taking it yourself, chew it up and swallow it, because you get a bigger surface area spread and you get a better efficiency out of it.
Mm.
So that liquid sounds great. It's basically doing that. It's ground it up into a palatable liquid.
Unfortunately, what they did say is it doesn't stay in suspension well. You have to shake it really well. It doesn't have a long shelf life. And the pharmacists both said they really wouldn't recommend using it on a full-time permanent basis, that temporarily, like I did, you know, to cover a vacation or something, it was okay, but they wouldn't recommend it, you know, all the time.
Otherwise, what can be done is you can get a mortar and pestle or just a fire and just powder the darn tablet and mix it in the food.
Uh-huh.
And that's real easy, because it usually doesn't have a bad flavor.
You're right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So, Sally, what you're waiting on is to get your kitty's IgA up high enough so that he can tolerate the oral meds.
Right.
And as that, when that IgA gets up high enough to switch to orals, you should be seeing a major improvement in the skin as well. Wouldn't you say, Dr. Al?
Well, absolutely. If you're not seeing the improvement, Dr. Burlingame will work on it, because you don't want to go to oral until you have the improvement that you want.
Yeah.
Because if the oral doesn't work, and we go back into that situation, we might have to increase it a little bit. If that doesn't work, then we may be looking at ongoing injection or transdermals. Hopefully not.
All right, so does that take care of you, Sally?
It does.
All right, thanks for calling Animal World.
Thank you.
All righty.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay, Al, we got a real interesting one coming up here next. We're going to stay with the phones, and actually a case I was working with yesterday, I think. Chris, Normandy Park, welcome to Animal World. You're live with Dr. Al.
Yeah, hi, Martha. This is Chris. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hi, Dr. Al.
Hi there.
Let's see,
can
Dr.
you hear
Al.
Me okay?
I can, yes.
Good. Okay. You can hear him. Excellent. Now, let's see. Chris is becoming a regular here on Animal World. So we talked to Chris last week. With Kim did a reading for you.
Yes.
And Chris, you have, and the reason I'm having her call us today, Al, is because we've got some behavior problems with a dog going on here that I'm involved as a behavior therapist.
Okay.
And I spent, gosh, a lot of hours with you yesterday, Chris.
Yes.
We had a long session, and I wanted her to call in today so we could run this dog's history by you.
Okay.
And see how this kind of might relate, if at all, to the imbalance. Now, this dog, his name is Izzy, and he's a 14-month-old neutered Yorkshire Terrier. Now, he's on the giant side. He looks a lot more like a silky terrier because he's quite large for a Yorkie. Now, Chris contacted me originally because this dog has pretty extreme, volatile, frenzied bark, bite, attack behavior with new dogs. And if that wouldn't be problem enough, just living with the dog, they run a, you know, doggy daycare. So you know, lots of dogs around, so this guy is you know, not a real pleasure to be with a lot of the time. At any rate, in sitting down with them yesterday and going through the whole history of this dog, I found the history quite interesting and wondered how this might relate. Because, Chris, you purchased Izzy from a breeder in the Roy area, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And so you actually went and saw the breeder who had, you know, multiple breeds of dogs and multiple litters of puppies.
Right.
But you visited, and I believe there was, what, 5-6 puppies in Izzy's litter?
Yes.
And observing them, they were all in like an exercise pen.
Yes.
And of this group of puppies, all but one of them were very happy-go-lucky, you know, jumping on the wire, trying to get to you, all that sort of stuff. But Izzy was not. Izzy was not part of the group, correct?
He was more, he interacted slightly, and then he'd just kind of come up to the kennel, the front of it where I was standing, and kind of just sat there and was just staring at me, kind of looking around. And then he kind of played just a little bit with the other puppies, but not like the other ones were just going crazy.
Yeah, so he seemed different from the beginning, Dr. Al.
He started off.
Yeah, now, this was at about 8 weeks, so Chris, you brought him home, and Chris is not an uneducated dog person. Chris, I worked with Chris, about 8 years ago?
Yeah.
With another dog that had problems. And, of course, you know, they're kind of in the animal business. So this guy was not isolated. He was pretty well socialized, was around lots of other dogs as they were raising him. And Chris even did, you know, some training stuff. But for the first several months of his life, Chris, he really was pretty normal and did very well, right?
Yes. Yeah, it seems really balanced.
And no reason for concern. And then here's the glitch, Dr. Al. He was neutered like in November
yes.
of last year. And I think he was about 8 months old then, right?
Yes.
Okay, and after the neutering, by about, that was in November, by about January is when she started to see the aggressive behavior.
Okay.
So I was wondering, and then it's kind of gotten worse from that, you know, from then on.
Right.
And so I'm wondering, you know, it sounded like that maybe this, because his temperament and personality was so different in the beginning, you know, being aloof and not really outgoing, but yet he was fine when they're raising him. But then the neutering happens, and then with a month or so, we've got the aggression surfacing. Does neutering interfere or affect this imbalance, or can it cause it or trigger it or make it worse?
From my understanding, from what I've dealt with, no, but I'll tell you what will make it, well, which will fire this thing off, which happened, is often the anesthesia will.
Oh, the anesthetic.
The anesthetic,
really?
Like the vaccine, like whatever, yeah. And I've got in my compendium, I've got something I did for the Journal of Toxicology in Europe on this. And what happens is any chemical, like I say, vaccines, anesthesia, medications, will hit the middle layer of adrenal cortex. And when that happens, the production of cortisol is reduced, and it kicks the patient into this mechanism defect.
Uh-huh.
And so the estrogen goes up, the thyroid gets bound, everything you're looking at. Chris, what you can do too, which may not be apparent at this point, but in a certain number of patients that develop this, you can look at the skin of the tummy, the abdomen, and you'll have a kind of a homogeneous gray or black pigment.
Now, we didn't look at his belly, Chris.
Yeah.
That's something to look for.
Well, what's the color of his skin on his belly?
It looks, I don't know, pinkish.
Okay.
What is it?
We'd be looking for gray or black.
Pink. Yeah, I'm thinking you're right here. There's a little gray.
Okay. Now, we did check. Now, I know, Dr. Al, you say with cats to look for, you know, a red line on the gums just
right,
above the teeth.
Right, and in certain dogs, you do see
right,
that
we looked at that. He does have a red line.
Well, that's his IGA. His estrogens are high.
On his gum. So
yes,
you would expect that he does have the imbalance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he came with it, and I think the thing that knocked him off the fence was the anesthesia.
So not the neutering itself, but the anesthetic.
Right.
Would be the toxin that would trigger it to a point where it started causing more problems.
And sometimes, too, when you have behavioral problems in puppies and then you check the mechanism and they seem fine, what this usually points to is that with a multiple birthing situation, if you get, depending if the first puppy, the last puppy, if you get a tired uterus and an early detached placenta, you can get an oxygen defect to that puppy's brain that can alter the personality forever without having the mechanism in balance.
Oh.
Huh.
Huh.
Something to think about, okay?
Okay.
Oh, well, yeah, that's interesting. That's why you might see that the one strange behavior in one member of the litter, but not the whole litter.
Yeah, and the rest of the litter is perfectly normal. So these
okay.
are things to really consider because it will make a difference. And then, Chris, when you've got the imbalance, as you know, I don't care how much training you do, it's like, you know, it's like taking a child that, you know, has got some major problems and giving them a medication or sugar where a kid's going to, you know, jump around and squeak, and there's nothing you can do about it. And what you should do with this, and Martha can talk to you about it, is if you can see Dr. Burlingame, get the test. I would be very, very surprised if you couldn't take care of this thing. The other thing you got to be careful of when you have a personality problem like this, whether aggressive, a food can really, really, improper food or snack can really, really ring their bell. Because I've dealt with this so many times with, what do you want to call it, rage, whatever you want to call it, against people, their owners.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting with children, you know, everybody's frightened, obviously, because of the possible attacks that can occur. And in waiting for the blood test, I changed the diet immediately, and usually within a day or two, the owner saw and said, I can't believe the dog is totally different. So,
well, and that was the other component that we struck on in going through the history yesterday, because Chris had raised this puppy on a particular food.
Right.
And about when the dog was neutered, she also switched the diet.
Well, see, that could elicit. He shouldn't show, without the mechanism defect, he should not show the aggression, but he will have food sensitivity. So I think he's got the mechanism defect, and when you changed his food, you got into something that really rang the bell of that imbalance.
Yeah.
So I almost thought, as you probably said, go back to the same food that he was on originally. I would suggest getting the test, get him fixed, and I think you'll be able to enjoy him, and he'll be, you know, a pleasure for you and for himself.
Yeah, now where we're at, I think, Chris, I think we're getting confirmation that we're on the right track here.
Yeah.
What we did yesterday, now they're all on board with the food, and we're going to be working on all
good.
Of that. They also are connected now with your website, and because they've called in, we're getting them a copy of your book, Pets at Risk.
Right.
So what I'm going to have them do at this point is read the book and get themselves educated. So they know what this is all about. In the meantime, we spent several hours working together yesterday, and we have a really good behavior therapy and training and behavior modification program set up for Izzy. And we actually made great strides yesterday in working with him. He's the kind of dog I really like. Fortunately, he's on the large side for a Yorkie, so it makes him easier to work with. And he's smart. And he really is a wimp at heart, we found out, didn't we, Chris?
Yeah, we did.
When we lowered the boom, boy, he wimped right out. But he also learns very quickly.
Well, doesn't that happen a lot, though, Martha, when their facade is being the aggressor and the alpha dog, and people
they really
used to be afraid of them, and then when you challenge them, they just fall apart.
Right, because in the dog world, when most of the time when dogs are aggressive, you know, their attitude, when they're afraid, their attitude is the best defense is a powerful offense. So if
exactly
I feel
right.
threatened, I'm going to act as tough and as nasty as possible to convince who's ever threatening me I'm too tough to mess with.
And if you don't challenge him, you know, look him in the eye and you give him time, they usually will come right up to you and you're fine.
Yep. So yesterday when we found the right technique, he just shaped right up. So basically we've got them dealing with the food and then educating themselves about this endocrine immune imbalance, and so that by the time they do that, we'll have a pretty good handle if our training and behavior mod is working well. And then Chris can decide whether or not she wants to test for the imbalance.
Sure.
And, of course, you know, we talked about, like you always say, it never hurts to test. You don't have to do anything, but it never hurts to test them, and at least we know.
Well, on the other end of the stick is his impact area right now is a personality problem. But, however, every major catastrophic chronic disease, cancer, autoimmunity, comes from this mechanism. So goodness forbid, down the road, he breaks with something that's really bad.
I think we probably have to talk more about that, which we will. Now, Chris, do you have any more questions for Dr. Al before I let you go?
Yeah, Dr. Al, what about those bully sticks? He eats at least two a week.
The bully sticks, they're like
the
cow penises.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, the only thing you got to worry about is he's allergic to bees,
right.
One, and making sure there are no preservatives or additives to it. The ticket would be, you know, at this point in time, would be to knock it off.
Uh-huh.
Just,
and see
again,
what
is this something he's had since puppyhood, or is this something fairly recent after the neuter?
No, he was chewing on them when he was a baby.
Okay. They're probably okay for him, unless he's developed a sensitivity to them. And probably the best thing to do right now is if you could avoid giving them to him just short term while you and Martha are doing this.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then once you achieve the level of that you're after, then put him back on it for 7 days. See if you notice any changes.
Okay.
Yeah, now the reason I recommended that we eliminate them from his diet entirely, but for a different reason than the imbalance, and that is because there's a chemical reaction when beef is in the system, a chemical reaction in the brain that brings out aggressive behavior.
Right.
So I, on general principles, when I'm dealing with an aggressive problem in a dog or a cat, I recommend no beef on general principles.
Well, real quickly, I worked with a Michael Chill, who's a behavioralist down in Southern California.
Yeah.
A number of years ago, and 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And we had a Labrador that was attacking the wife and the child.
Yeah.
And this is before we did the endocrine immune or anything. And I looked at, this may have been 30 years ago, and I looked at what was being fed and said, hey, let's at that time go to lamb and rice. Did the lamb and rice, dog was perfect. One Thursday night, the husband flipped the dog a piece of roast beef, and the dog, within about 15 minutes, just absolutely about ate the wipe up.
Wow.
Yeah. Again,
so the reaction was that quick.
Yeah, it was real, real quick. You think, well, maybe an hour or so and absorb it. About 15 minutes.
15-minute reaction to having a piece
horrible.
Of
yeah,
beef.
Exactly.
But I think to be fair on this, a reaction to food can happen almost immediately, like you said, in 15 minutes.
Yes.
But it also can have a delayed response and take, what, up to a week?
Up to 7 days,
Up
yeah.
to 7 days. And then there are those that don't react unless they get long-term exposure.
And then there's also those, we understand this too, where you might give one meatball, okay?
Yeah.
And they tolerate it. You give it two meatballs and you have a horrible reaction.
Ah.
So there is a quantity input here too, besides the delayed sensitivity. This is real common. People will get I haven't done anything. Well, what happened? Well, 2 days ago, did you give him? No, nothing. A week ago, well, yeah, a week ago, got in the cat food. And that's where the reaction came from 7 days later. That's why when you're doing an introduction of a new nutrient, you do it every single day, small amount, though. So you don't get a bad reaction. If we are going to get a reaction, you do it every single day for 7 days. And if it looks like there's no reaction, continue to give it. If you get a reaction, you know that's an allergen that should not be given, period, to this particular patient.
Yeah, that makes sense. Anything else, Chris?
Well, just to let you know, Martha, that there has been a real change, turnaround, just in that one session with you, with him and also the other dogs here. He
yeah.
seems more calmer.
He seems calmer.
Yeah, and he in the kennel last night, we used the sound and then quiet
yeah.
technique, and, I mean, it worked great, like in 10 minutes.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
So we appreciate all your help.
That's good. I appreciate you having me and letting me come and work with you, because that's what I love to do. But the reason he's calming down, Chris, I'll tell you, dogs relax in the presence of powerful leadership. And we kind of determined yesterday in all the history and everything that you guys had done a lot of great work, and especially you, Chris, had worked real hard with him, and you had done some training and such, but you really hadn't done any definitive work on being the leader and really taking charge with this guy. And he's so smart that he was in a very submissive way kind of taking over the planet and harassing your other dogs. But so we kind of, when we lowered the boom on him yesterday, that made a big difference to him. And it does in all cases. When you show responsible and definitive leadership, these scared, aggressive models can relax and calm down, because it's like, wow, I've got a powerful leader now I can count on. I don't have to be a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, so that is a normal response, and I'm real glad to hear that that's happening.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
All right, so then I want to hear back from you as how walks are going and all of that, if we've got this aggression under control. And then Sandy's arranging to get you a book, correct?
Yep, that's right.
All right, we're in good shape then.
Okay, thank you.
Now, anything else? We got all your questions, okay?
Yes.
All right, super. Then I'll look forward to hearing back from you.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris. Mm-hmm.
Okay, bye.
All right, yeah, it was a really fascinating case with that early history.
It sounds like it.
Al, and with that neutering right in there and the changes happening so soon after that, well, of course, there was a change of diet as well. It was hard to know what, if any, of that might be a part of it, and that's why I wanted to talk about it with you.
Yeah, because usually what happens, too, Martha, when if you have the imbalance and, say, the testosterone has been removed with a neutering, with the imbalance out of that inner layer of adrenal where the estrogens come from, you also get androgen, male hormone.
Mm.
And so in many instances, you don't end up with a deficiency with a neuter. Sometimes you do, as you know. But it'll be interesting to see how this progresses. Sounds like you're doing very, very well with it.
Well, you know, the good news is, because, you know, I discovered your work back in the mid-80s when your first book came out. And I took all the food stuff to heart, and boy, I started all my clients and all of their dogs on hypoallergenic diets and simple formulas, quality food, and the rotation, which was huge.
Right.
And that made a huge difference all these years in dealing with a lot of the problems. But up until the last 5 years, when, you know, your Pets at Risk book came out and diagnosing the endocrine immune imbalance and treating it became more realistic and practical, I couldn't deal with that. So as a trainer and behavior therapist, I specialized in working with these fear and aggression problems with dogs.
Right.
And I have to say, I have to give myself credit, I get real good at working with these dogs.
Right.
And have developed a lot of great techniques that really, really work.
Well, you understand where they're coming from and why their personality quirks are what they are.
Yeah, why they do what they do.
Yeah,
and
you go to the cause of it.
Mm-hmm. And so even without regulating the endocrine immune system, I've you know, been able to help people really do an amazing job at changing and controlling the behavior of their dogs. But in the extreme cases, we were only able to, you know, control to a certain extent and prevent and avoid. We were not able to eradicate some, you know, the extreme and irrational stuff. And that didn't come until we were able to balance the endocrine immune.
Right, right.
So
it's a holistic approach, W-H-O-L-E.
Yeah, that would be me.
Behavior, food, it's the mechanism, it's pharmaceutical sometimes. You've got to put the patient back together again and give the patient every possibility to survive and be healthy.
Yeah, and by the way, folks, that's what we're going to start with on the teleseminar that I'm doing this coming Thursday. The discussion is going to start. I'm going to explain to you all what behavior therapy is all about and how I work and all the different components that I address when I put together, you know, a program for people, because it truly is a holistic approach, and you've got to cover all the bases.
Exactly. And that's what you get into. So much of the medicine today and behavioral modification is based upon maybe one science, not two, you know, East and Western. And you've got to use the benefit of everything there that could be affecting the patient. And you can't assume it's not this or not that. So you look at all the parameters, and once you do that, you can bring your patient back into sync. And oftentimes, if you don't and you miss one element, it's not going to work.
Right. Yeah, and I know that in some of those really extreme and irrational cases that I dealt with, you know, prior to the last 5 years, where we were able to save the dog's life and the people were able to learn to live with them and prevent and avoid when they needed to. But a few of those cases were still around and came back to me after, you know, your latest book came out. And so we were able to test those dogs, and sure enough, they had the imbalance. And then when we stabilized that imbalance, that was the key to eradicating the behavior completely.
Right, right.
But most of these dogs also, not only did we have to address the endocrine immune imbalance, but we also had to be very careful about the diet.
Yeah, food is such a big impact. It can be such a big impact. And it's interesting because over the years, in the beginning, I found that probably 30 at that time, many, many years ago, 33% of our population suffered. Our pet population suffered from food sensitivity. And then a big article came out from England by a dermatologist stating that really I was only seeing 1%. You know, It's been a chase your tail time for a long time.
Yeah, I'm still amazed that in kind of traditional and state-of-the-art veterinary medicine, and even with some of the allergists, that they really still don't look at food and food allergies.
No, they really don't. You know, and it's kind of, you know, and from my standpoint, I probably shouldn't say it, but I think so many of them are there to heal their wallet, not the patient. And, you know, I don't know, like you, we don't know everything, but I'll tell you what, we care more than anybody. And that takes you a long, long way.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. Well, let's see. Dr. Al, we need to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for this hour, and then I've got to do current events.
Can I talk to Sandy while you're doing that real quickly?
Absolutely. Sandy's listening. All right, so we'll put you on hold. Sandy will talk to you. We'll take care of our advertisers and sponsors. We'll do current events. If we have any time before the top of the hour, we'll talk to you again. Otherwise, we'll do our 4th of July tips and fears at the top of the hour, and then we've got another hour with Dr. Al. We'll have open phone lines. But for any of you that are listening that don't know what this endocrine immune imbalance is all about, we'll go back for grab some history and some explanation. So stay with us. Current events is next. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, if you've got dogs, you need to know about the Academy of Canine Behavior. They've also got a cattery out in Bothell. And the best doggy daycare center I've ever seen. It's huge, and it's fabulous. And they are conveniently located just off of 405 north of the 522 interchange. So if you travel that north 405 corridor to and from work, real easy to pop off the freeway on the way to work, drop your dog off at daycare, pick them up on the way home, and heck, You don't even have to exercise them. When you can just go home and kick back. All you got to do is feed them because they'll be worn out from playing with all the dogs all day. And they also, the Academy offers a free behavior evaluation. So check them out. It's the Academy of Canine Behavior. They're in Bothell. Phone number is 425-486-9567 or visit them online, www.aocb.com. And be sure you tell them Martha Norwalk sent you.
Naturally for Paws is Kitsap County's health food store for pets, where pets are more than animals, they're family. Naturally for Paws provides only the highest quality natural, organic, and holistic pet supplies for dogs, cats, birds, and small animals. Two state-of-the-art self-service grooming facilities, all with the highest level of personalized service. Naturally for Paws is open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 6 p.m. on Sunday. Stop by their store in Silverdale or call 360-337-2444 to speak with their friendly and knowledgeable staff. Be sure to mention that Martha sent you. You can also contact them online or read about their philosophy, products, events, and services at naturally4paws.com.
Canine Hydrotherapy and Heavenly Spa's Warm Water Healing Pool offers pets a therapeutic and nurturing environment to assist in rehabilitation from injury, illness, or surgery, as well as maintaining the overall wellness of pets of all ages and abilities. Heavenly Spa, located in Fall City, maintains its pool at 92 to 94 degrees to aid your pet in achieving greater relief of muscle tension and increased range of motion. Warmth can assist in improving circulation, increasing flexibility, and promoting relaxation. When the benefits of warm water healing are incorporated with massage therapy, the results are remarkable. Heavenly Spa also offers massage and body work, self-swim, puppy parties, and holistic services. For more information, go to heavenlyspa.info or call 425-222-7221. That's 425-222-7221.
1150kknw.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and boy, we're winding down the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World already.